Hi, I'm Steph, Senior Marketing Manager at Tag Digital. And today, welcome back to the Tag Lab. I'm joined by Laura Davidson and Craig Davidson, directors and founders of Tag Digital.
Good morning.
Hello.
It's nice to be back. And is it funny, Laura, being on the other side this time?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know what I'm going to be asked, so hopefully, yeah, I can say something intelligent.
But today we'll be chatting about the story of Tag Digital, so where you guys started off and a bit more about Tag Digital in general. So I think let's start at the beginning. So can you introduce yourselves first and tell us a bit about Tag Digital?
You go, Craig.
Oh, I can go. Yeah, so I mean, how far back do you want me to go? Right to the very beginning, how we came up with it?
Right to the start.
So I guess
right to the start.
So after university, I joined a large corporate in the UK. I was doing a kind of graduate program in their business development team. So I did a number of different projects. One of them I got seconded onto a project in a new hospital that was being built. I kind of worked underground with a French company for 6 months doing night shift programming a fleet of robots to replace porters in hospitals. So things like that were fun, but my kind of regular job was bidding for big like government contracts, which was fine, but I didn't really like the guy that I worked with. And Laura's heard this so many times, but twice he did something, and it's horribly rude. Like he wouldn't look at you, he would throw money at you and tell him to go get everyone coffees and dinners and things like that, which I have no problem with, no problem being the runner, being the kind of office lackey. I really didn't have a problem, but I did have a problem with just being rude. So yeah, he threw money at me one day. He threw his phone at me one day and said, answer that, and tell that person I can't speak, things like that. So anyway, Laura and I chatted a bit at home, kind of came up with this idea to start an agency that was going to help local businesses. So small businesses in Eastern Berkshire that might need help doing social media, writing content for their website, that kind of thing. And the plan was basically, do you think we could make enough money that meant we didn't have to go work in a bar or go work in a supermarket? So yeah, we kind of came up with a really basic business plan. I decided to hand my notice into the job and we did it. So I was doing it myself for the first about 6 months, I think, Laura. And then Laura quit her job and joined, I would say, probably actually something that people don't know is, I would say around about month 7 or 8, things weren't going that well. I got Laura and I a visa to go live in Canada. So our plan was, if we got to year month 12 and we weren't making money from Tag Digital, we were going to go live in Canada for a few years. But Laura's very good at selling. So when she joined the business, started to get a little bit of traction. And I think year one, we maybe turned over 3,000 or 4,000 pounds. It was enough to just like go on to month 13 and 14, and it just kind of started to snowball from there. But it was very tiny at the beginning. There was not really a grand plan. It was very much kind of fake it till you make it, say yes to anything, and kind of between the two of us, we would figure it out.
I think I've heard this story a number of times actually, which I love to hear it every time. But actually, the bit about Canada is also new to me. I hadn't heard that bit yet.
I know, but we're going to run away and hide.
See, everything that would have been so different if you'd ran away.
I'd actually completely...
We wouldn't be sat here right now.
No. Yeah, it was. I think it was kind of knowing what we could both do in those early days, and I had absolutely no issue with like going around, knocking on doors, just like I thought that was really exciting, kind of creating something out of nothing. So I think that's why I made a good partnership early, because Craig was quite happy to do the work in the back and I was quite happy to just like go around to the local dentist and be like, do you need a website? Yeah, we'll build you a website, no problem, we can do that for you. And I think, yeah, our ethos really at that stage was, what's the worst that can happen? You know, we have to go back to our jobs, or we have to get a job in a bar, whatever we need to do. I was also in a company that was a smaller startup, which was really interesting, and I learned loads, but just, yeah, maybe not the way that I would want to run a business now. And it was starting to struggle financially. And so I was like, yeah, okay, I don't think this is going to work anyway. So I'll go join Craig and start seeing if we can do social media for the vets and the dentists. And that was how we kind of got started.
It must have been
when we used to win like a website, a lot of people go knock on the vet's door, do you want a website? It'll be £600. And they would say yes. And we'd be like, yes, we want some work. So we'd be like, £600, right, who can we get to build us a website for 400? Okay, he'll do it for 400. Brilliant, we've got 200. Let's go for lunch. That's 100. So we're left holding £100 at the end of the day. But it was like the biggest buzz. It was like such a celebration. And obviously now when we win big projects with Tag Digital, we ring our bell and it's exciting amongst the team. But honestly, like when it was just the two of us and you get a few £100 from somebody that says yes after knocking on doors for ages, it was so exciting.
It's so touch and go at that stage though. Like, and it still is. Like, you're, I guess, a master of your own destiny. But at that stage, it really was the difference of like, can we keep doing this or not? So yeah, probably going out and having burgers and beers at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday wasn't always the best business investment. But I think it just showed us that, yeah, we were able to go and make these things happen out of nothing.
It must have been hard at that stage to think long term, was it?
Oh, yeah. It was survival, 100%. I think it was just like, can we make enough to sustain ourselves? We did do a business plan at one stage, which is so funny to go back and read all the stuff we thought we were going to do. But yeah, I think it was definitely survival. Can we see it through? And it was only once we got a little bit of like regular income that you're like, okay, how can we grow this? What else could we offer? And then eventually hire somebody into the business, which I think is the only way you can scale.
I don't think there was a long-term plan at all. Certainly not in the beginning. Like what I said, the first few years, it was just, can we make enough money to pay our bills? I think the turning point in terms of long-term planning was when we moved to London and we joined a kind of mentorship program at the Institute of Directors. So once a month, we would go meet this guy, Lance, and just spend an hour or two chatting through our kind of problems, and he would give us some suggestions about how to make things a little bit easier. I remember going through our client portfolio. The portfolio makes it sound a lot bigger than it was. A handful of clients at the time. And saying, okay, well, you've got two clients that work in events. You've got a couple of clients that do like generator hire. If you specialise in a sector, then that's how you're going to grow this company. It makes your sales process a lot easier. And initially, we just completely ignored him. We were like, no, we know better. We'll just sell to everyone. That's easier. But probably within the year, we'd actually made a kind of conscious decision to take that advice from them. And we started to kind of let go clients that didn't fit within the event sector. Started to pick up more events, event-focused clients. And that's probably the point that we started to think about growth in longer term, kind of what we could turn the company in. But that was probably year four. So the first kind of 3-4 years, I think it was just saying yes to anything that would help us pay the bills.
And what kind of companies did you work with at that point then?
Everyone and anyone.
We had an electric radiator company in Blantyre. We had a vet. We had some, like I said, some generator hire companies. Eastern Bankshire Council paid us to do training days. So we'd get £400 for a half day, and 8 local businesses would come along and listen to myself and Laura talk for a couple of hours. Yeah, it was all that kind of thing. So a dentist, it was all kind of small scale stuff. And then
with the jewellery business.
The jewellery business, yeah. I can't remember who our first event client was actually.
Our first event client was UBM, which was back in 2020. And I kind of knew one of the girls there who actually we still work with today, which I think is really amazing actually. So yeah, we started doing a bit of work with them really early on, and they were our first corporate client. And then kind of at the same time we were deciding, okay, I think we should specialise, we got a call from somebody at Ocean Media. And they said, oh, we heard you're doing a really good job for UBM and, you know, you're doing well at events. And we were like, oh, yeah, cool. And we took Ocean Media on, and they were our second kind of anchor client. And then it really started to build from there. So we started to understand what they needed and how we could build specific campaigns for them and build relationships. And at these big corporate clients, there's maybe one company, but there could be 300, 400 different entities under it. So once we got in there and started to refine like our process and be able to deliver for them, then I think that's when the business like started to mature. I think we're still very much on our business maturity journey, but at that early stage, we could see that was probably the direction of travel we had to go in.
Even looking back, so I've been with the company 5 years, and even looking back to 5 years ago, so much has changed. Obviously the team has grown from how many then, 15, 20 to over 40 now, so huge growth, but so much, if you had to write everything down, that's changed. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Just it's so good looking back that we have to kind of sometimes sit and think and look back at how far we've come.
Oh, definitely. And I think you're always like, you're always seeing all the stuff that we still need to fix. Like there's always so many things, especially as the team grows and the industry changes, and there's always a million different stakeholders that we need to be evolving for. But yeah, I think it is good to reflect and look back a year, 5 years ago when you started, like we had no marketing to speak of, we had no finance team, and really now it's like evolved into we've got these specific kind of teams, whereas we were just really doing everything ourselves in a really small group of people, which is amazing because it gets you to the next stage. And actually what I think is great is getting even to this stage, like being year 12 or year 13, and the team are still there and the business is still growing. It's there's lots of businesses don't get to that stage, and I think it's only because we've kept changing and evolving that we've managed to kind of stay in the game.
Yeah. So what advice would you give yourself when you were starting out?
I think I would probably, like, I now look back and I think there's not really a shortcut to any of this. So you're just going to have to accept that the first couple of years, the first 2, 3, 4, 5 maybe, are going to be difficult. There was moments I remember, like even when we were living in London, so it was like year 4. If this particular client didn't pay us on this day, we can't pay our rent in our flat. We can't pay our supplier. Like it was down to like, it was that close sometimes. And I think acknowledging that that's what it's going to be like for a period of time, you know, that's I guess why not everyone does it, because those are the kind of moments that are difficult, but those are the kind of moments that stick in your head. I think if you accept that there's going to be difficult times, you accept that you're going to have to just get your head down and persevere and keep showing up. I think probably I thought it was going to be a lot easier. My stepdad had always had his own company and had been successful, and that's kind of all I saw. And I think I didn't maybe acknowledge those first few years just how hard they were going to be. So yeah, I guess if I could give myself advice, it would just be recognize that, accept it, be resilient, keep showing up, and it'll figure itself out in time.
And I suppose as time goes on, different challenges present themselves. I can imagine as you grow the team, there's gonna still be challenges that you kind of face every day.
Oh yeah, I think every business has constant challenges all the time. Like I think it's, none of it is easy, and probably similar to Craig, like the reality is I think in most businesses the first 10 years are really like touch and go in a lot of ways. Like it is, and nobody wants to hear that, and I definitely wouldn't have wanted to hear that at the beginning, that this is going to be a decade probably before you get to anything that's stable. But nothing really is stable as well. There's just always different factors. So yeah, I think that would have been hard to hear at those early stages. I think the other thing is, and I think about this probably more now that we've got more experience, is like the only limits that are there are the ones that you put on yourself. So you know, we've seen firsthand, we can think of something, execute an idea, and stuff happens on the back of it that you didn't think was possible. And really, if you can 10x everything that you're thinking, the likelihood is you will get there. But a lot of the time you kind of create these beliefs that are, you know, all your own biases and things like that, that you think can't happen. But really, if you dig into why it can't happen, it's just because you think it can't happen. So I think having that ambition now, which I feel I have more so than probably I did then. But yeah, I think, again, you can only know that when you go through a lot of those kind of challenges and pain points.
I think from an employee's perspective at the company, I think it's great that you guys have that attitude, which gives everyone else the chance to kind of get out of these self-limiting beliefs and say, in my mind, Digitex, that wouldn't have happened if we never imagined that even being a thing. And kind of you guys having that mindset that you can, the only limits are the ones that you set yourself, I think is really important for everyone else to be able to get out of their self-limiting beliefs as well. Because I can imagine in really big companies where you're kind of just a cog in the wheel, you know, then you might not get those kind of opportunities. So I think having that from the top is really, really beneficial in a company to help everyone grow as well. So, yeah.
And I think knowing that it's not all going to go well, I think at the beginning I always wanted everything like to go well, you know, because you are so on the line with like, okay, if this client leaves, if this employee leaves, if this thing happens, it's catastrophic. Whereas actually now I accept like stuff will go wrong all the time, which is fine. And as long as we learn from it, it's okay. And as long as it gets better. But yeah, I think, again, that just takes time to know like the cards don't all fall down. So yeah, I think that's been a good learning for us.
Yeah. So tying in with what you guys were saying there, talking a bit about challenges, what would you say the biggest challenge has been that you've overcome when you've been scaling from one employee to over 40?
I just want to caveat this by saying the team at Tag Digital are amazing, but the more people that you have join the company, the more, problems is the wrong word, but just people just do present challenges. So whether that's, you know, different people require to be motivated in different ways, people want to achieve their goals in different ways, people have progression plans that are, you know, one person wants to do X, Y, and Z, then a different person wants to do something different. So I think when it was just the two of us and work would come in, say, okay, well, you do that, I'll do that, and that was it. Whereas now managing teams or managing people who then manage people beneath them definitely presents challenges. I think we're at a kind of inflection point at the moment where we are, I can't remember, 45, 46 people across different regions. We're probably at the point now where we'll have to have an HR function in the business quite soon. So the whole kind of people element of it is great, and I really love being involved in it and taking charge of it. But it's definitely presented some situations that maybe you would never have imagined that you would kind of have in front of you.
Laura, what would you say your biggest challenge is?
I think it's the challenges are maybe constantly changing as the business evolves. And probably for me, what I've come to realize as the business got bigger is that communication piece and getting that right internally, because it's not always like before. It used to just be like 10 of us sitting around a table and you could say, this is the thing, this is what I mean. Oh, what is it you meant? This is it. Okay, that all makes sense. Whereas actually when that communication gets more dispersed across everybody and it's not always you giving it, like we did a session on it recently, the message can get diluted or misunderstood, and it's just learning really how much time we need to spend making sure the message is clear, making sure it's clear where we're going as a company, and also understanding everybody else's perspectives and how they interpret things, because everybody is individual. And I think what also I've realised is the success of the company is going to be down to relationships one way or another. So we can have great process, we can have great technology, but really it's the relationships across our team, with our clients, with our suppliers, is what will kind of be... what will make us successful or not. And I think that's actually true of any industry. Like recently I was listening to a company talking about, you know, manufacturing their silicon chips and, you know, what an industrial process that was. And really the main thing was the relationships with the employees at the silicon chip factory and whether you could get your chips manufactured faster or slower. So even though it's a very technical business, ultimately it was down to the relationship. So there's no bad time spent building relationships, whatever that means for your company and understanding where everybody's at.
I think sometimes that can be forgotten about a little bit when people are communicating over computers and phones, etc. Because I definitely noticed that, I mean, you can interpret things completely differently through a computer. You could say, imagine someone sends you a message, you think, oh, they're really angry or something, and they don't want to deal with this, this and that. And then you meet them in person, it's completely different. It's just the way that they're more direct in the way that they communicate. And I think that's something which is really challenging, because within a team as well, everyone, like you say, interprets things differently. They have different ways of communicating, and you do have to take that into consideration. And that's something I maybe didn't think about. Like, I really appreciate direct communication, but I need to appreciate that the people that I'm dealing with might not. So that can then affect relationships within companies or with clients, etc. as well. So that's an important one. So thinking about the business in general as well. So you guys have got 3 children between you. So how would you say that you've navigated building the agency and a family at the same time?
That's been hard. That's definitely been great, amazing, incredible. But definitely hard, I think, in those early days. Darcy, our eldest, came 6 weeks early. So we were definitely not quite ready. I just thought, I'll work up to the last minute and then we'll kind of figure it out. And I remember, having to get an emergency C-section, and I was lying there thinking, oh, I've not cancelled that call with licensing expo tomorrow.
Oh no.
And that was like quite a crystallising moment, but that was just our reality. And then she was early and she was in hospital for a couple of weeks after. And I think navigating those early days was definitely tough, because you should be able to take a bit more maternity leave, but that wasn't really a reality, especially with Darcy. And then the others, you know, just bring them into the office and just kind of juggle. It was really like a lot of juggling. And then eventually, by the time we had our third, and it was getting maybe to breaking point, I would say, with logistics and childcare and nursery and school, we were in a very fortunate position to be able to have a nanny, which we are really lucky to do. But that has transformed our lives, I would say. But the first 7 years we didn't have that kind of support. So lots of support around us, but there is a lot to do. So
I'd say our nanny Amanda is like our very own Mary Poppins. Like, it's been so good having her. The only thing I would add is probably if somebody was in a similar situation, whether they're running their own business or they're just in a job, there's really not a perfect time to have kids. I think everyone's like, once I do X, Y, and Z, that's the time. Something will always come up, always. So if you want to do it, you just need to do it and then figure it out as you go along. There's nobody that does it at the perfect time with the perfect plan. Like, you just have to give it a go.
I guess I'll have to get a dog then, if that's the case.
That's honestly, a dog's more work. At least with your kids, you can bring them with you everywhere.
Yeah, true. I might add that you two have also got dogs. So.
Yeah.
To the dog. Yeah, the worst behaved dog.
Yes. Yeah. I think that we're lucky, like, we can be flexible. But as long as you're able to trade off in other ways, so our schedule maybe looks a bit different, but it means that, we'll leave early to go and have dinner and do bath and bed and everything. That was like something that we were able to prioritise from quite early on, which was important to us. And then it means at night time we can pick up on work and do calls or whatever it is that we need to do. So I think I don't like the word balance, because I don't think it's realistic, and I don't actually think you ever feel balanced. I think it's just about finding a schedule that works for your family and for the business. So that's what we've evolved to now, which works as well as it can do.
Cool. Okay, so in 2023, Tag Digital was actually featured as number 24 on the Phoebe Growth 100 list, so celebrating fastest growing privately owned businesses in the country where the founders are still involved. So it's pretty impressive. So how does it feel to be one of the only 8 Scottish businesses that were recognised on that?
I was thinking about this morning, actually. So I think the recognition of being on the list is amazing. In terms of being one of only 8 Scottish companies, it's great. But like, you know as well as anyone, Steph, we don't, like, our business is so focused on a global market. We're working with clients all over the world. So we never, I don't know, I never really consider ourselves necessarily a kind of Scottish company. Mm. It's a nice little bonus and it sounds nice, but I think I'm focused on the work that we do internationally in other markets. I'm focused on our position kind of within our space more so than what necessarily we fall into in Scotland. But to be on the list in general was a big honour. It was a nice one to hear.
I think it, from being 1 of 8, it makes me think we need more. I think I've got a couple of friends on the list as well. I think there's only a couple of female founders that are involved, and I think really what we need is more people kind of role modelling and, you know, setting an example that you think, oh, I could go and do that. And you've got more Scottish businesses and more female founders. And that's what I would love to see these lists aspire to, have people doing different things and representing different groups. And yeah, but it's a great thing to be involved with, and it's always fun, I think, to be in a group with other founders and a bit of group therapy from everybody.
Yeah. Craig, I also agree with what you're saying about the Scottish businesses, because, okay, we are a Scottish business, but we work with clients across the world, primarily the US, UAE, Saudi, etc.
That's the other thing in Scotland, yeah. Is a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of businesses export. And I think that was one of the things that really changed our business really early days, was our service was quite easy to export. And I think if other businesses tried to export what they're doing and went into bigger markets, those businesses would scale much quicker. It comes with challenges, but I think it's a really smart way to scale.
Yeah. What would you say your pinch me moments are that you've achieved over the last 13 years?
I actually have one that's right at the top of my mind. So we did, I don't know if you're going to ask about this anyway, Steph, but we did Tag Away last year, which was a kind of incentivized trip. If we hit a big financial target, we took everyone away. So we went to Palma in Mallorca for a weekend, and when we landed kind of at lunchtime, we dropped our stuff at the hotel, and then we went straight out in a catamaran. So we kind of sailed around the island, swam in the sea, and then on the way back, everyone had the music on, they were dancing, and the sun was kind of setting in the background. I was just looking off the side of the boat, thinking, like, this is nuts. Like, we used to do, you know, knock on a vet's door, do you want a website? And now we've taken a team of, whatever it was at the time, 35 people to Mallorca to have a nice day out on a boat. So that was definitely like a moment that I kind of just took a moment to myself to think about how far the business has come. It was like a nice moment.
We've actually got a photo to show that moment.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just looking like into the distance.
I think I probably ruined your moment, actually, by asking you what you were thinking about.
Yeah, I would second that. I think that was a very, very cool experience to have with everyone on the team, and just build all of that good relationships. And then I think more recently, just I've been involved in the Scale Up Scotland program, which has been amazing. We did it back in 2018, and then we got invited to do the second round of it as the business got a bit bigger. And I think just being part of that group and some of the speakers and leaders that I was exposed to, I felt really privileged to be part of those conversations. And just felt like, some definitely a bit of imposter syndrome, I think, throughout some of that process. But really great access to people that are building, cancer busting drugs and have grown, $4 billion businesses. And I think I learned a huge amount from being in those conversations.
One more moment, actually, Steph. One more moment was, so when we did our first Digitex in Dubai, so for the 2 years previous, it was COVID. And for a long time of that 2 years, there was kind of question marks over what was happening. Obviously, we lost all our revenue. There was no work to do in the event space. And I think to come out of COVID and turn up at that Expo 2020 site, see the UK pavilion filled with people, Google were speaking at it, Meta were speaking at it, YouTube. I think that was a moment where I was like, oh, thank God, like, things are okay. Like, we're going to be okay. Obviously, that was amazing work by you and the rest of the growth team to put that together. And then to go on and do it in New York and London has been amazing. But definitely that first day we turned up in Dubai and saw like a successful event, loads of people. It was definitely a moment that I remember.
I also, another moment I remember from Digitex, okay, walking in, absolutely amazing, loved it. But then sitting behind the tech desk when a video wouldn't work, that was something that I don't forget.
We'll learn from that. Won't happen again because you feel the pain. Or when I started speaking and was gesticulating wildly and the mic wasn't turned up because I said, we'll be fine. Craig was like, we can't hear you. I was like,
oh. But anyway. Things like that, at the time, it feels like the worst thing ever. You're like, it's been a disaster, but no one remembers that at all.
No, only you. Well,
yeah, very good. So all of this experience that we've talked about, how would you say that this has shaped you as leaders and as individuals?
I feel just incredibly lucky that we've got to do this for the last 13 years of our lives. It's been such a unique experience and feel very fortunate that's the path that we've taken. And I think probably the things that I've come to really learn is that I need to let go of more. We've hired loads of really smart people. Just get out of their way. Let them make decisions. They won't all be right. That's fine. Just let them do their thing. Because ultimately, I think your confidence comes from like saying you're going to do something and doing it, or learning from the thing that didn't go well. And over time, that's how we build confidence in the team and confidence in ourselves. And I think if we can give people that confidence, then, you know, the sky's the limit. I think that is hugely exciting. And I feel that I really, really still enjoy what we do. Like, it's really difficult sometimes, but I absolutely love it. And even though we work hard at it, it doesn't feel like hard work. And I never feel I can't do this. It's just, you know, you get tired, start again the next day. So, yeah, I think if you really enjoy what you do, you don't feel that, you know, that you can't do it, or it's not something that you're getting energy from. I think for me, I'm very comfortable with that.
I think giving other people a responsibility to do stuff as well, they can give a new perspective to something. They might have different ideas that you hadn't thought of, which,
yeah,
like, I can imagine it's from your point of view when this is your baby. You've literally built this from the ground up, handing things to other people and kind of giving them the responsibility, I can imagine, is a bit of a daunting thing, but
it
pays off most of the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. You know, the team are absolutely amazing, and they come, like, and that's the thing. There's so many different perspectives, and the more different viewpoints you bring in, the more you're like, oh, I never saw it like that. That makes complete sense, or I just never would have seen that, because we all come with all these different beliefs. So, yeah, I think empowering people to do that. But it is hard not to jump in sometimes, so that is something I'm working on.
I think Laura and I are probably both guilty of this, and it's probably a trait that most entrepreneurs have. You can be a little bit of a control freak with things, but I think that can just cause a complete pinch point in a business. If everything has to go through you, if you have to have final sign-off on everything, it just slows everything down. Your processes become really slow and kind of heavy. So I think we've probably learned, because we've got such good people in the team now, to kind of let things go a little bit. Something else I've probably got better at recently is just in general, things that are out with my control, don't give them energy. I think probably in the past we've been guilty of kind of expelling a lot of energy on things that we just can't control, and it's pointless. So if we acknowledge something and it's out with our control, we just move past it. Kind of whatever will be. And also, I think we've both become just more resilient in general as people. Like I mentioned earlier on, those early years, you have to just keep showing up and keep kind of cracking on when it's not always easy. And then obviously during COVID, those couple of years, it seemed really futile sometimes, but every single day we would get up, we would have goals for the day, for the week, and we would just get through them with the kind of belief that at some point when things are back to normal, we're going to be in a really good position. Actually now, a couple of years on, we look back at those 2 years as like a good opportunity that we took to change a lot of things in the business and now in 2024, the business is much more robust. So yeah, just keep showing up.
And at that time during COVID, you both had to really believe that for the rest of the team to believe it. And yeah, we knew that whatever decisions you guys made was for the best interest of the team. And I think looking back at COVID, okay, it was an awful time, but the only thing we were doing was working, basically, which it was really, that was like so important though, that we had that team bond. We did our goals that we caught up at the end of the week. We would do loads of catch-ups, make sure keeping in touch with everyone. And it really was like a good time to be on our team though, really. It was amazing having such a good team at that time.
Yeah, I feel the team really bonded together. We did every quiz, virtual cooking, virtual cocktails, challenges.
I know.
But
yoga.
Actually, yeah, it gave us something to do. And I felt, yeah, the online yoga, the team, you know, really were there for each other. And we saw that in loads of big and small ways. And we definitely didn't have all the answers at that stage, but we were prepared to kind of change and do whatever we needed to get through that. So, yeah, but I think a moment of reckoning is never a bad thing. I think you always learn something out of it. So, yeah, just showing up. I think the only other thing I want to add is now I'm like, just have fun. Like, it's not life and death. Like, we do digital marketing. Like, it's all good. You know, we work and operate in a fun industry. We have a brilliant, fun team. And just, like, relax. Like, it's all good. So, yeah, I think I'm more on the let's just have a good time as well.
Yeah, when we went to an event recently and it's one of the events specifically for the event industry. So there's like loads of fun stuff happening and it's just such a good environment to be in with everyone's in a good mood. It's great to like actually build your relationships with clients, but on a more personal level than just through a screen all the time. Like I'm definitely an advocate for building relationships face to face. I know it's not always easy when you're working with people across the world, but it's just so nice to actually see people face to face and just chat about things other than work as well. I think that sometimes gets missed in building relationships. People just think, okay, we're at work, we need to only speak about work, but we're all human at the end of the day. So yeah,
stories are a lot more interesting than the work.
100%. So is there anything that you'd say that you've had to give up on throughout your time working, building Tag Digital? Is there anything, okay, we can say, yeah, you got to stick at it, but is there anything that you've actually done which you've thought, actually, this isn't going to work?
Probably loads. I'm just gonna think what we've done. I was thinking more like just, I think other things get squeezed when you're building a business, so probably more on a personal level. Like in the evening, often I'm working, don't, you know, take as good care of some friendships as I would like to, or if I get really busy, I'm not exercising. So I think there's a bit of a personal sacrifice sometimes. So yeah, I don't have an answer to that. I just try and, you know, spread my time best I can. But those are the areas that I think the business can kind of take over sometimes for me.
I would say definitely from a personal point of view, you just have to accept that you're never, ever going to go on holiday without your laptop or your phone. Like you just have to do that. You know, you have to get off a flight with the kids and get to the house and open your laptop and respond to whatever. From the business, I mean, we used to be much more kind of generalist in the early years. And like we mentioned, we were doing websites or digital training for kind of more generic. Around about the time we started to specialise in the event sector, we also started to specialise in our service offering. So we kind of had to bin lots of things that we were doing for the clients. So our service list went from, you know, a dozen items to maybe three. But again, looking back, it was obviously the right decision to do that because I'm doing that. That's why we've known that we have.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. So finally, do you have any advice that you got in your early career that you still hold dear today?
So when we started the business, we were only 24. I mean, we were young. I remember my stepdad saying to me, so he'd been in business a long time at that point, saying to me, you know, if you're going to go into business and your name's attached to this business, just make sure that you do everything right. So like what he meant by that was, you know, pay your tax. If you've got tax, pay your tax, pay it on time. If you've got suppliers, pay them on time. Don't burn any relationships. don't take shortcuts, because you want complete confidence that, you know, if somebody came to audit your business, whether it's HMRC or whether it's a prospective buyer, you don't want any kind of skeletons in the closet that they uncover and start asking questions. Just do everything right, everything above board. And we've always done that at Tag Digital. You know, there's no secret debt that we're hiding. There's nobody that we owe money. Everything's solid. It's always been Laura and I that run it. I've got complete confidence that, you know, we're a solid and robust business. If anybody wants to come and take a look, we've got nothing to hide. So that was, I think, like, good advice that we just, that was always an attitude to it. Not that we were ever looking for shortcuts necessarily, but just, let's just do it the right way. And I think kind of 13 years on, I'm so glad that we did that.
Yeah, you can imagine the damage that that could have further down the line when you've got 40 employees and this thing's hiding, then it becomes a bit of a problem. So
totally.
It's good to hear.
I think for me, I remember someone early on saying that, like, the first 10 employees will set the culture and the tone and how the company is going to be. And I think, yeah, we were really lucky. Our first employee was Alex, who is our CTO still today, and we've worked side by side, and he's really been instrumental in growing the business. And we still have so many of those first 10 employees, and not everyone's with us today, but I think they set a lot of those, that kind of early culture. And I think if that goes wrong, you know, in the early days, you can't get it back. So I think, yeah, having people who we felt could carry not just like the work and the skills and all that, but the right kind of culture early on has been, helps us build that kind of solid base.
We haven't covered today.
Just the sky's the limit. I can't wait to see what's next. I'm always excited for what's to come in the business. Like, we can imagine anything that we want. So yeah, let's see what happens the next 10 years.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being so transparent and vulnerable and sharing all of that. I hope it's useful for some of our listeners, and we'll catch up soon. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.